Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Hey, what's new? This conversation starter often catches me off guard. Well, not much. Same old, same old. Just living the dream just doesn't quite answer that question. Now that we're at the start of a fresh new year, this might be a good time to consider changing this question to what will be new. A brand new year once again. Many of us use this as an opportunity to prioritize what will be new. Making resolutions or setting goals for anticipations or expectations of what will be new. What will 2024 bring? Better crops, better health, maybe a renewed relationship. As we contemplate these things, now is also the time we reset our sights on what lies ahead on the calendar. I doubt if any of us will be Christmas shopping anytime soon. So what is there that January brings to us? Well, I looked, what I found was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Not a very glamorous what's new. Well, at least in February, we have the Super Bowl, the Valentine's Day, and President's Day. Even though nothing festive is happening anytime soon in the secular world, we must turn our focus on what's new in the church calendar. Like I mentioned last week, this time of the church year, we begin the celebration of Epiphany, which starts 12 days after Christmas and will continue until the beginning of Lent, which, by the way, is on Valentine's Day this year. At any rate, what we are celebrating by the definition of Epiphany is the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the world. This is the time in the church year where we acknowledge that little babe in swaddling clothes who was taken to the temple at 40 days old for a sin offering, who with his parents fled to Egypt to get away from Herod, who taught in the temple when he was 12 years old, was in fact the promised Messiah right before everyone's eyes. In the gospel lesson today in Mark chapter 1, we find Jesus beyond his youth and ready to be revealed to the world as the Son of God. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Savior of all people in every nation, Gentiles as well as Jews. The setting is in the Jordan River, where Jesus is going to be baptized by John. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right there in the Jordan, where we hear the voice of God that he indeed is the Son of God. We read from verse 11, a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. This voice from heaven is why the baptism of our Lord is a bookend, so to speak, for the Epiphany season. This carpenter from Nazareth is far more than he appears to our eyes. He is the light that shines in all dark places. In fact, he is the same light that on day one of the beginning of creation, where God said in our Old Testament reading from Genesis, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And indeed there was. God speaks and things happen, as Jesus is and always has been the light of the world. This got me to thinking, as I was looking at the gospel lesson for today. What is happening in the Jordan River? What was Jesus doing in the water? By John's own description of his baptism, it was a baptism for the repentance of sins. If Jesus really is a Son of God, he has no sins to repent. So why was he in line with the rest of the sinners for the baptism by John? Did he really belong there? Have you ever felt like you do not fit in? Like you don't belong? It happens to all of us at some point or another where we find ourselves in a situation where we just stand out, so to speak. I remember one time during a goose hunting excursion where me and my hunting companion walked into a cafe for a lunch in a small town cafe. The place was buzzing with conversation, and as we opened the door, that came to a screeching halt. Not only that, but everyone in the room turned and looked our way. I had to analyze if there was something about our appearance that determined we did not belong, or if by chance we forgot to leave the guns in the truck. At that same time, my kids were young, and I had a lot of exposure to Sesame Street. The song, "One of These Things Just Doesn't Belong," popped into my mind. For a moment, I felt like the image Sesame Street uses quite often of a single blue balloon amongst three red ones. Which one doesn't belong here? However, what seemed endless but realistically lasted only for a moment. The conversation in the room resumed, and we sat down for a meal. The way it turned out, we were not the odd-colored balloon after all, and Jesus wasn't either. Jesus did belong in the water. By standing in the Jordan, Jesus identifies with all the sinful people he came to save through his substitutionary life and death on the cross. We are told in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The more you think about that, the more humbling it actually becomes. Jesus stands in the repentance line with me because he knows I cannot do it alone. None of us can. We stand in this repentance line over and over because our sins just keep coming back time and time again. For sure mine do. How about you? Do you need coffee in the morning before you speak? Can you really say you're sorry and truly mean it? Like Paul says in Romans 7:15, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." There is no part of our life which does not need his redemption. But wait, there is more. The same Jesus who stood in that line of sinners for you and me has died and risen to a new life with you and me as well. This is not what's new. Through the cross, he has so graciously empowered our lives with his goodness. Even though our old self rears its ugly head, Jesus is there to redeem us. Now, as we live, we can stand perfected by his sacrifice. Yes, the world will still point to that sin that clings so effectively to us, but it will miss the real resolution which is at work in our lives, the forgiveness of sins. And what is important to keep in mind is that all this is not of our own doing or some act of our will or some New Year's resolution that might fail. It started when water and the Word introduced you and I to this life-giving gift, when we were helpless and unaware of our sins or what was even happening. In our baptism, that was the day that Christ took a hold of us to work his solution to our sinfulness. A work begun, a work in progress even today, and a work which he will finish on the last day, the day we will inherit his eternal reward. So, what's new? The new life I now live in Christ. This is what Paul is talking about in the epistle lesson for today in Romans 6. Paul's reasoning is that our identity has been replaced in our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection. We are no longer a people who want to sin, We are no longer the sinners whom Christ covered up with that flood. We have risen from the waters of baptism to live a new life. But with this assurance, Paul warns us in verse 1, as he did his Jewish opponents, with this question: shall I sin more to get more grace? I must not be hovering on the fence with one side basking in the fruits of my new self, while at the same time on the other side of the fence enjoying the worldly pleasures of my old self. Working both sides of the fence does not align with being truly sorry for those sins. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever had an addiction? Now, I don't want everybody's hand to go up at once. I can relate with a chewing tobacco addiction years ago. I eventually tried to quit and declared quitting was easy. It's easy because I did it so many times. Now, addictions can be many things: drugs, alcohol, social media, smoking, or watching things you shouldn't. There are many, many others, including the one I had. If you experienced this or currently have one, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to admit there's a problem. However, as hard as that is the first step that needs to be taken to begin the long road to bad habit recovery. But once again, like any addiction, wanting to fix a problem is where it must start. From there, addicts can get clean. The same is true with our sins. As sinners, we can amend our ways and become a clearer light to witness to Christ by the way we live our lives. However, you must want it. This is what Paul is talking about: Jesus' new resurrected life that lives in you. But what about the Christian who continues to sin? There is a difference between continuing to sin and continuing to live in sin. No one reaches sinless perfection in this life, but the redeemed Christian is being sanctified or made holy day by day, sinning less and hating it more each time he fails. Yes, we still sin. That is not new. But we will sin unwillingly and less frequently as we mature. Then, once again, what will be new is our new self, despising the sin that still has a hold of us. Our new creation is no longer a slave to sin as we formerly were. We are now freed from sin, and it no longer has power over us, as Paul explains in the epistle, verses 6 and 7. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now we are empowered by and for righteousness. We now have the choice to let sin reign or to count ourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. Verses 11 and 12. Best of all, we now have the power to choose the latter, alive with Christ. This is where we can find ourselves back in the repentance line with Jesus in the Jordan, knowing we are forgiven as he carries our sins to the cross. He gave his life on that cross so we could live a new life with him. This is the time of year we resonate these things, from the little child in a manger to the heavens being torn open and the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. We begin Epiphany, where we reiterate what the manifestation of Jesus Christ means to you, me, and all people. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a new life. We can live it. His life is our life. This is what was revealed by the Holy Spirit in that water as John baptized Jesus. He was identifying with every sinner and bringing his life to us. He would pay our price on Calvary and give us his righteousness. So what will be new? You, me, and all believers are a new creation. As new creations in Christ, we are called to put on our new self because we are created to live out our baptismal grace every day to be like Jesus. Connected to Jesus in our baptism and in his baptismal union, he poured out the Holy Spirit as it was poured out on him. With this and through our faith in him, as our Father in heaven said of Jesus at the Jordan River, he now says of you, you are my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.